Okay, let's begin. We've been going through the Gemara here on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph through Mem Amud Aleph. This is the Mecha section. We're getting through that. We're almost to the end. So, what's that? Yeah, exactly. And the challenging of protesting. And we didn't get to it last week, as I recall, because we Hanukkah took over. But let's continue now with the Gemara. So the Gemara says, let's continue with Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. I think that's where we were supposed to begin. So the Gemara says, some of these things, a little bit of we've done, but let's continue just to go through the Shaka Vataria and some of the other issues that come up. Amar Rav Nachman. Mecha Shelo B'Fanav is on the two dots on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Mecha Shelo B'Fanav, Havin Mecha. A long distance Mecha, which is not in the presence. Again, we're talking about a case of somebody who, we're talking about a case of a dispute between two people about the ownership of a piece of karka. One is living there, the other one is the previous owner, the Marakama. We're trying to figure out who is telling the truth in this dispute. That's the background, as we know. So the rule is that if the Machzik is in the karka uninterrupted for 3 years and there's been no registered legal challenge against him, then he will prevail. However, if there's a proper macaw, a proper challenge against him within the 3 years, so then if he's not able to produce Edom or Ashtar, then he will lose the case, at least if he can't produce the Edom or the Ashtar within the 3 years. And that's the background. So now the Gemara tells us that if a macaw is made not in the presence of the Machzik, but long distance, for example, the Marakama is living somewhere else, or when he hears about it, he's traveling somewhere else. So does he have the obligation to return to, you know, for a face-to-face challenge or confrontation with the Machzik? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Mecha Shelo B'Fanav, Havi Mecha. There's no such requirement. In fact, it's sufficient that he call together two witnesses, or three, we'll get to that in a second, and protest in their presence. He doesn't have to be actually confronting the Machzik. So the Gemara says, Eisve Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman. Om Rav Yehuda. Lo Omra Shalosh Shanim, Ela Kedei Shei Bas Bamya, the Yachzik Shana V'Yelcho V'Yodiyu Shana. V'Yobo L'Shana Acheres. The Mishnah says, Amram et Chesam and Aleph. If you just look at that again for a second, if you recall, the Mishnah says that the Tanakhama said that Shalosh Arosas Chazaka, Yehuda Evar Yarden V'Hagalil, and that you have to be, the Machzik and the Marakama have to be in the same geographic region. That's the view of the Tanakhama. If they're not in the same region, then you can't establish a Chazak. But Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda said, La Amru Gimel Shanim, Ela Kadei Shehe Bas Bamya, B'Yachzik Shana, Yelchu V'Yodiyu Shana, V'Yavu L'Shana Acheres. He said, no, 3 years is always good enough, even if they're not in the same region. Why? It takes a year to be in the karka before you can really expect that people are going to take it seriously and the Shmua will go out. It takes a year for the Shmua, for the word to reach the Marakama if he's in some long distance place like Aspamia, Spain. Right, and then it takes a year for him, meaning the Marakama, to travel back to confront the Machzik. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that what? That the Marakama is obligated to buy the ticket and jump on the train or whatever it is and actually come back and face-to-face confront the Machzik. That's what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, Eser, Rav Lav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Lo Amr Gimel Shana Mil Kadeshi Bef Spamya Yachzik Shana V'Yelchu V'Yodiyu Shana V'Yavad L'Shana Acheres V'Yisol Kedai Tech Mecha Shalom V'Fad Av Hava Mecha. If you think a long distance Mecha is perfectly sufficient, then Lamali L'Mesi, why does he have to pick up and come? Leisiv Hasam, let him sit Aduchte, let him sit in his place, namely in this case Aspamya, or wherever, Timbuktu, V'Limche Hasam, and let him from there register his complaint in the presence of, you know, two people or three people, as we'll soon see. So the Gemara says, Eitza Tova Kamashmala. There, we're not telling a halacha that he's obligated actually to travel to confront the Machzik. What we're actually experiencing is good advice, a good suggestion,
by Rabbi Yehuda.
Legally, you can sit where you are and do a long-distance mechah, but there's an advantage, there's a benefit to actually personally confronting the matzik. What is the advantage? Right? The nesi, the nishkol ara uperi. Let him come, and that way he can, you know, reclaim his land, and at that time also he can take possession of his peiros. What's the issue of the peiros? Why is that a good kamashmalan? Why is it a good eitzah tova? So the Rashbam explains, if you look at the Rashbam here, one second, very simple cheshbon, elikadeshiye, Talmudar Buda Lav Mishim de. No, one second, sorry. Sorry. Eitzah tova kamashma. The nisi hu atzmo lishkol, the nishkol karka uperosa biyara masnik, shiim yimacheh bimekomo, velo yelech viyotzi achshav miyado, haperos sheachal amachzik, yotzi menu betorach, the kosha gezla nechal, miulav dapka matzachle Rabbi Yehuda lavo, elohi kamar. Lo amud tzarach kibul shana mele kadesh yivya hamahar baspamya umishik zitze yotza kol yodiu bashana shniya v'yimacha b'tchila shalosh v'yuchal hadavar lava le'azav shamachzik b'sof shana shlishes oz yesh hano lema'arer shemir tzehu atzme lava b'sof shalosh v'yikach hakarko peros v'yachshav b'lo dinu dvarim. So basically the Eitzah Tova is very simple. Eitzah Tova having to recover peros in a legal case, then being able to reclaim them and prevent the person causing you a loss to begin with. Right, there are lawyer's fees. You can always claim, I don't have any money to repay you. You'd rather avoid the din Torah. So if you do it long distance, the karka you'll get back, the gufa karka is not a problem. You'll get that back either way. But the years of produce, which of course are the tantalin, that of course is much more difficult to recoup. So it's better to take, I guess, a preventative approach than a recovery, you know, legal recovery after the fact. Therefore, it's a good kamash.
Past payments.
Yeah. Either way, you'll have to. But the point is, the longer he tarries, the you know, then the future becomes the past. Every year, you know, as long as our payroll is to be collected, it's going to be a better. It's going to be to his benefit to do it this way. Either way, the Gemara then goes on to say, "Midikamosav leRavler of Nachman, Mechal de lo svir le the Mechal shelo b'fanav have a Mechal." If Ravo is asking this question against Rav Nachman, is that implying that he himself is of the opinion that Mechal shelo b'fanav is a Mechal? Va'amar Ravo Mechal shelo b'fanav have a Mechal, but he himself says that it is a Mechal. So there seems to be a stira in Ravo. Right, the implication from his question is that mechal shelo b'fanav lo have a mechal. You need a direct confrontation. But we know elsewhere that Rav is the opinion, including on Chof Tesem and Aleph, we read earlier that mechal shelo b'fanav works. So the Gemara explains, Basa de Shaman, Rav Nachman, Sabra, he originally was in the opinion that mechal shelo b'fanav lo have a mechal. Right, once he heard that Rav Nachman, his Rebbe, you know, convincingly argued the position of Mechah Shalom B'Fanav, have a Mechah, he changed his mind and that became his new psak. He was flexible in the face of a compelling argument and the authority of Rav Nachman. That's the Gemara. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on to say that Ashkechinu Rav Yossi Bar Chanina L'Talmidim Rav Yochanan Omer Lehu Miyam Rav Yochanan Mechah B'Kama. So Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina bumped into the students of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said to them, do you have any Masorah, what Rabbi Yochanan's position was regarding the amount of, the quantity of the, you know, the witnessing audience? You know, who is the Mocha Shalom B'Fanav, right, who is he telling it to? So the Gemara says, Rav Chia Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Mecha B'Fnei Shayim, Rav Avon Rabbi Yochanan Mecha B'Fnei Shalosh. I'd like to say facetiously, they're probably sitting next to each other in the shir. You know, so one of them said, Rabbi Yochanan's clear as crystal, that you only required two. And the other fellow said, he couldn't have been more unambiguous. He said we need three. So he asked two Talmidim, sometimes we get different answers. Either way, so we now have an interesting question. How many people have to witness the Mechah in a long distance Mechah? Two or three? So the Gemara says, Lema bin Rabba Baravuna Kamifliki. To Amar Rabba Baravuna, Kol Milsad in this Amr, Vyape Plasa, Leispe Mishum Lishna Bisha. So the Gemara says, what is the nature of this really interesting argument, whether you need three or two? So the Gemara says, as we'll see in a moment, the Gemara is going to suggest three possibilities. The first one is that the argument revolves around the position of Rabba Baravuna, who said, Kol Milsad in this Amr, Vyape Plasa, Leispe Mishum Lishna Bisha, which means anything which is publicized in the presence of three people is no longer subject to Lashon Hara. Now, you can imagine that itself, stirred some excitement. This is really a Gemara in Erechin. If you look at the Masoras HaShas, you'll see it's quoted from Erechin Tazayin Amidah. This Gemara appears here and in Erechin. Kol Milsad Misamra B'Yapei Tlasa Leis Ben Yishum Lishna Bisha. And you can imagine that it caused quite a stir. What do I mean by quite a stir? It sounds like you have here a significant heter for Lashon Hara, right? So you can imagine that the people who were most disturbed by this, I mean, I'm only saying, I mean this only half facetiously, are, if you had to pick a Rishon in the Middle Ages, a Rishon, who was going to be particularly upset about this, you probably could have predicted that it would be Rabbeinu Yonah, or the author of the Shari Tshuva. And if you had to pick somebody in the last 200 years who was going to be particularly challenged by this Gemara, it would be the Chafetz Chaim. So all Rishonim were challenged, and I'm sure many of the Achronim were challenged by it too, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the most intense and the most intensive both treatments can be found by Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rishonim, who has the longest piece in the both here in the Sugya and in his Shari Tshuva, and the Chafetz Chaim, of course, has a whole klal base, I think, in Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. The whole klal base is about this Nemra, Kol Milsad Misam Re'apei Plasa, and he goes through all the, if you want to see what a lumdish sefer Shmiras HaLashon is, Shmiras HaLashon has a reputation for being, like a tzidkus, kind of a sefer, which it is, in some sense, meaning, all the dinim of Lashon Hara, every, single prat, but it's really doesn't do justice, just to characterize the piety of Shmiras HaLashon. It's an amazing testament to the mental energy and the lumdus, and the diuk of the Chafetz Chaim. I mean, he went through every single, mocker that exists on Lashon Hara throughout Shas and Medrash, and all the Rishonim that he could find, and he analyzed it like he would analyze, any sugya, not less than, in Echad Neman Bisurim or Shtaros, and he has very, creative chidushim in his analysis of Shmiras HaLashon. Just take this one little klal, Kol Milsad Misam Re'apei Plasa, to see the detail to which he analyzes it, and you'll see it's just a very impressive sefer. It's just characteristic of the whole work. So Kol Milsad Misam Re'apei Plasa Leisim Shulish Nabisha is a very challenging line. We're not going to spend much time on it. I refer you to the Chafetz Chaim, but I just want to speak about it for a couple of minutes, just some of the basic approaches in the Rishonim, very quickly. Before we get to what it means, let me just talk about the connection. So the Gemara says this is a debate, and the Gemara explains, Man damar b'fnei shnayim leislei d'rabba barav huna, Man damar b'fnei gimel islei d'rabba barav huna. That's the first day. That the argument whether Mechah requires two or three is the argument whether we accept the view of Rabba Barav Huna or not. Now, if we don't accept the view of Rabba Barav Huna, what does it mean? Not that even if it's Bifnei Tlasa, Ispa Mishum Lishnabisha, it's actually the other direction. Afilu Milsa de Misamra Bifnei Trey, in front of two people, Leispa Mishum Lishnabisha. That would even be more challenging, for the Rishonim to explain. So that's the connection. What is this connection between Mecha and the requirement of two or three, and the rules of Lashon Hara and the requirement of two or three? So here you have a major Machlokas of Rishonim. I think I've already mentioned it. that is a two days. It's already 2 days in the Rashbam, but it's basically the older Rishonim, meaning the Rabosat Shal Rashbam, Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Gershom, in Sfarad, it's the Ramah, Yad Ramah, and earlier mostly took one position, contrasting with that of the Rashbam and most of the Rishonim, both in Ashkenaz and Sfarad, post-Rashbam. The post-Rashbam view is the view that the connection between Kol Milsa V'Samrit L'Klasa L'Esu V'Shim L'Shna B'Shan Mecha is not a substantive one. It's not that somehow Mecha is itself a form of Lashon Hara, and therefore the rules of Lashon Hara are going to dictate when it comes to Mecha, but rather we're dealing with a parallel meaning. In the case of Mecha, we're interested in effectiveness of the grapevine. We want to know that Chabra Islay works. How do you know that it works and you can rely on it? Right? So we look to the world of Lashon Hara, and we say, what is considered to be like a safe bet? That if you know X amount of people know about it, then everybody is going to know about it. It's Mefursim V'Galui V'Yadua. So we look to the world of Lashon Hara. The rule of Lashon Hara is if it's already known, so that repeating it isn't going to add anything, you know, maybe we'll have to explain why still. There's no problem with Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when you are mefarsim. If it's already mefursim, you know, v'omeid, you know, the damage has already been done, that apparently, we'll explain in a minute, doesn't constitute Lashon Hara. So we look to the world of Lashon Hara as a criterion for, as a shiur in Pirsum and Gilui. And what we say is, if in Lashon Hara, three, but not two, is the threshold for Pirsum, so then we need that kind of Pirsum for Mecha. For Mecha to be effective based on Chabra Islay, we need the same level as Mefursam, which obviates or precludes Lashon Hara. That's the view of the Rashbam Udine. The Rabbos of Shel Rashbam and the Rebbeinu Gershom and the Rebbeinu Chananel and the Ramah and others say no, there's actually a direct correlation between these two dinim, because what is the nusach of Mecha? Well, we had it already at the bottom of Ram Chesom Deis. Tloni Gazlana Denokit LaRoy BeGazlan Nusa LaMachar Tavana LeBedina. So they said, listen, if part of the Mecha is calling the guy a Gazlan, so that's Lashon Hara. Are the Edim allowed to, and are they going to be Mefarsim? So if you say, Kol Milsad Misamr B'Yapet Klas Aleisim Shulish Nabisha, and in front of three people you call him a Gazlan, we're not worried about them, you know, feeling queasy about expressing this and forwarding it to other people, right? Because it's not a Lashon Hara problem anymore, because it's already out there. It's already in the, you know, in the public domain, one could say. But if you hold that even two constitutes Gali before some, then it should be sufficient to have two. So their idea is basically that Mecha itself includes a component of Lashon Hara, and as such, excuse me one more second, and as such, it's determined or it's regulated by the laws of Lashon Hara itself. However, the Rashbam says, in his opinion, this is not tenable. He says, after all, this is a legal process. You have the right to make a mecha. If the halachic nusach mecha is gazlanhu, because, you know, nokit lebarai begazlanusa, lemochet tavana lebedina, that's what you're supposed to say. That's the nusach of the mecha, and you're allowed to, even encouraged to, defend your own rights by making a mecha, then how can that be lashon hara? Moreover, says the Rashbam, we talked about this a little bit, it's actually to the benefit of the machzik that this be spread. On the one hand, he seems to be the victim of the defamation, right, because he's the one who's being called a gazlan, but doesn't he want it out there in the public domain so that he can hear about it, preserve his shtar, defend his honor, and establish that the Marakama who accused him falsely is a liar? He certainly, if he's telling the truth, would prefer the opportunity to be vindicated, and as such, it's to his benefit, not to his detriment. Therefore, the Rashbam says, this isn't Lashon Hara. Just look at the language here in a second, then I'll take the question. Look at the Rashbam on Lamed Tesav Beis. Man Domer Bifnei Gimel Islay Deraba Bar Avuda. The Begimel Have Giluyim Milsa, says the Rashbam, below betray. But this Man Domer thinks that Giluyim Milsa is with three, not with two. Hilkach Bifnei Beis Lahava Mechah. The Law Vide Ligluyay. For him, the connection is how reliable is the Giluy. Kein Nira Shita Zuba Einai VeIkar, says the Rashbam. This is my view of the sugya. You can skip the parentheses. Well, kama nani muchach demand the boy ilui gluye rather milsa the mechah boy shlosha v'ha'ach yava maskana d'shmaita. Then he adds v'chora b'seinu mefarshim the gavi mechah nami lashon hara ika. The problem is that mechah includes a component of lashon hara. The kamar plani gazlanahu v'hilkach l'rabba baravuna yisamer kamek trei lo havi mechah mishum de'ispe mishum lishnabisha. The problem is, if there's a Lashon Hara problem, it's not going to be repeated. But that's the kind of something inspiring about the Rashbam, being assuming that if there's a violation of Lashon Hara, that people are going to keep that. The Lav Milsa, he says, the Rashbam, the Lo Dami La Lashon Hara Klal, the Iker Mechai and Mishun to be in and Shiyav La Davar La Azar Shomaksik, who mitz the Lo Malo Kadei Shizar Vishtaro. It's to his benefit so that he can protect himself. Lekach Tiknu La Ma'arer Shei Malka Bifnei Edim Kadei Shiyot Siyo Sakal. Teda Deicha Damar Lo Tafik La Chushut La Lo Ab Mecha. On the contrary, if he, the Ma'arer, tries to slight, because that's what we talked about not last week, but 2 weeks ago, if he tells them don't breathe a word of it, that's not a Mecha. Because he's not serious, or because it's not going to be communicated, or both. So, doctor, we want the Moxic to hear about it. Therefore, it's not a Lashon Hara. This question of, what constitutes Lashon Hara, well, you have something, you have an interesting situation here. If you were to take it out of context, saying about somebody that he's a Goslin, and that he's doing a Maisa Veira, of course, is a Mechal Lishna Bisha Gedola Mizu. On the other hand, in context, namely, this is a legal procedure, and actually to the benefit of the Ma'asik, it's a whole different story. Moshe Lamad Abedome, the Gemara in Marit Katan, I think I mentioned this before, on Tetzvav, talks about a Shliach Bezdin. The Gemara there wants to know, if you send a Shliach Bezdin to issue a summons to bring somebody to court, and the fellow, upon receiving the Shliach, he's Mekalel him, and he's rude to him, and he refuses to come. So the Gemara wants to know, is the Shliach Bezdin allowed to repeat to the Bezdin, how this fellow treated him, in detail? The Gemara says, maybe it's a problem of Lashon Hara. The Gemara says, absolutely not. That's what the Shliach Bezdin is, that's part of his function. The Bezdin needs to know, for purposes of Cherem and for the efficiency of the system, Bezdin needs to know exactly, what this fellow's posture is. Therefore, that's not Lashon Hara. In other words, again, that could be to the context of Shliach Bezdin, you might draw the line there. Here, this is, not in the context already of a Bezdin, he's not Shliach of the Bezdin, this is still the Ma'arer, working for his own benefit. We don't know, who's telling the truth one way or another. Here you might say, well, third parties, the two or three who are witnessing this mecha, they just may not want to get involved. After all, it could end up being that the fellow is a legitimate lokeach, and in the meantime, they've spread and defamed, they spread the word and they've defamed his reputation. That's different than you're already in the context of, and you have somebody who's working for it in the name of Bezdin. So you could draw a lot of different places. It's a very interesting argument. Yeah.
It just picks up beyond that. The fact is the they're not talking about the initial people who heard it. They're talking about there's a rumor around.
So this is a question. What are we talking about? So this seems to be a debate between the Rishonim.
Would you say that if you say it to three people, that all of a sudden becomes...
So that's the issue. The Rashbam certainly doesn't hold that way. The Rashbam interprets the Gemara as follows. The Rashbam says the first in Lashon Hara, forget about Mecha for the moment, whether Mecha is the same depends on the argument we just talked about. But in regular Lashon Hara, let's speak about that for a minute. So the Rashbam says the case here is that the initial publicizer was an Avarian. He did something which is against the rules of Lashon Hara. Namely, he told a story about X. He revealed the exploits of X. That was a violation of Lashon Hara. But once he revealed it to more than three people, the question now is, anybody repeating it after it's already in the public domain of the three people, is that Lashon Hara? So the Rambam says two things. Number one, that that's the case. Meaning the implication is if you were to initiate in the presence of three, that's full Lashon Hara. Right? It's repeating it after three people have already heard about it. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam emphasizes here the fact that sof-sof is going to come to the attention of the machzik. So he'll be hearing about it too, so at least it isn't being done behind his back. The implication is if either it was initiated, that's illegal, or if for some reason it's out there, but it isn't going to somehow get back to the victim, then either one of these would be a prohibition of Lashon Hara. However, if you look at Tosas, look at the second Tosas on the page, on Lamed Testament days. Tosas, Leis Ba Mishum Lishna Bisha, Pirish La'oso Sha'omer Lifnei Gimel. Tosas says, it doesn't refer to the people who, you know, have already heard it, right, then where it's already out there in the public domain because it's been said in the presence of three. We're talking about the person who initiates it in front of three people, and that's where this memra applies. La'osa sha'omer lifnei gimel. The parakesh ba'erchin, ma'isi Allah, hodam Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara then links it with another statement, that Rabbi Yossi said, me'olam la'marti davar v'chazarti la'chori. I never said something, and then started looking around, or felt the need to look around, to worry who's listening to me. That's when I speak, you know, and when I speak, I don't mind, you know, let the chips, where does it fall, where they may. Exactly. So, Pirish, lo yachoshesh im yishmu abaylim. If I'm going to say he's a this, that, and the next thing, I'm not saying it's sota voce, you know, maybe it'll get back to him, maybe it won't. I don't care who knows about it. I have the courage of my convictions, I don't know, but...
Statements.
Right. Yeah.
Let's look down the road. The Musak has the shot here.
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be a nafkamina. We know what the Lashon of the Bachor is. It's going to have Gazlo in it.
Right.
So it's going to make...
It's an accusation.
Yeah, it's going to make a nafkamina. Now we're talking about where the Musak has a shtar. If you hold that Machor is Lashon Hara, then there's a consequence for the Balabai's Rishon. But if you hold this is simply the Lashon of...
What do you mean the Balabai's Rishon? Who's the Balabai?
The Marakama.
Yeah.
The Marakama.
He's lying.
Yeah. You hear? So, now it depends, what do you consider this machor? If you consider it Lashon Hara, I would assume there's some consequences for the Marakama.
Well, in a way, there are consequences for the Marakama. Meaning, if the Marakama...
Only if the Musak has a shtar.
Yeah, exactly.
The Musak has a shtar.
Right.
Now, that's the consequence for the Marakama. If your whole machor is Lashon Hara, there would be a consequence. But if you hold the Lashon of the machor, it's simply...
A legal terminology. Yeah. But there's still a consequence, because he's been shown to be a liar.
With
Nekalam the Eda. Remember what the Marakama says, I own this piece of karka and I never sold it to Reuven. Now, if Reuven comes to court with a shtar proving that he bought it from the Marakama, then the world knows that the Marakama is a liar. So even if it isn't Lashon Hara, probably it then is Lashon Hara too. Just meaning it's Lashon Hara. Once you know that he's lying, two things happen. Number one, it's Lashon Hara. I would say number two, it's Lashon Hara. Number one, he's a liar. Unless he has a memory problem.
That's worse
for him.
Yeah. Why you focus?
So that's our serious consequence.
Why you focus on the copier? Three people that would say also are brilliant.
Well, let's talk about whose violation is more serious and primary: the person who initiates the process, or the first people who hear? They don't even know what they're hearing yet.
They know they hear Lashon Hara.
How do they know? A guy says, I bring three people together, I have something to tell you. And then he tells them. They don't know necessarily what's coming. Either way, what I'm talking about, for Tosas, the Chiddush is that even, it sounds like, even the Mefarsim has a heter because he's saying in front of three. So this is just one more second. This is what really bothered the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Chafetz Chaim. Like, you know, how could this be? Right? So what they explained was, if you look...
The second body you heard from the Marakama?
No. The first person to say it in the presence of three. That's what Rashbam says, Kol Milsa Nisam Rafa Klasa Leitzam Shum Lishna Bisha means, after three people have already heard about it, repeating it after that, it doesn't have significance. The Tosa says, if you're going to say what you're going to say in the presence of three people, that's not Lashon Hara. And he compares it to the guy who says, Me Olam Lo Amarti Ve... I mean, I'm a straight shooter. I'm not...
It's the original guy who says.
So it's the original guy. Just because I'm telling it... So as the Rishonim ask, and the Chafetz Chaim embellishes even further, if I'm saying it in front of more people, it's better or it's worse? It's worse. So what's going on? But, as I point out, if you look at Tosfos and Erechin, right? So the link to Rav Yossi, who says, Me'olam l'amarti davar v'chazarti l'achorai, proves that we're not really talking about a case of pure Lashon Hara. But if it was, I said, he's a Goslin, he's a, you know, I'm accusing him of some unambiguous crime. So the more people I tell it to, the worse it is, not the better it is. I would have made it before some. Obviously that can't be a good thing. Right? This is just a tip of the iceberg in Hilchos Lashon Hara, by the way. But you just, you know, see what it is. There are different categories. So there are cases of Lashon Hara where the content, per se, is more ambiguous. Right? And it's the motivation and the context, sometimes, or the form, which determines something is Lashon Hara. Sometimes I can say something, you know, and if I say it, you know, with a wink, you know, or with a smile, or if I say it more important even than that, gratuitously, there's no reason for me to say it. Right? It could be Lashon Hara. And if it's in the context or the framework of some constructive, you know, purpose, or Shidduchim is a good example, you know, it's a fact, and there's a reason why it's not gratuitous. Right? And on the contrary, sometimes it's being said so that the person should do tshuva, tokacha, the very fine line between Lashon Hara and tokacha, for example. So that's what Rebbe Yonah says, and the Chafetz Chaim expands it more for Tosfos and for others. It's some, you know, sometimes we're dealing with either tokacha or something which is neutral. Then the way you say it, if I say it and I'm trying to stifle it, I don't want him to hear about it, then it's obviously a negative thing. Right? If I say Me'olam lo amarti davar v'chazarti ma'achorai, it's not that I'm proud of my, I tell it like it is, Lashon Hara, I don't care. And that's not the idea. Meaning, when I say things, I say them in a constructive way. I don't have any rancor or any ulterior motive. And that's reflected by the fact that I'm being straightforward. I'm not stifling, I'm saying it straight. I want him to hear it, because if it was something negative, if the intention was negative, right, then I wouldn't want him to hear it.
Could we say being cognizant of zealous, the fact that he calls him a gazelan is not Lashon Hara?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's an Iser Gezel Lakarka. But I'm not talking about that at the moment. I mean, number one, there's an Iser Gezel Lakarka. Even though we say Karka Nigzelis, it means no Kinyan Exel. Meaning the din of Onsin, right, and other such things, and Kinyanim. Namely, in Meruba some years ago, like Yewish and Shina Rishus, those things don't apply to Karka. But if you're Masik Gavul, let's say, you change the border, that's an Iser in Torah. The point here is, though, but forget about the Goslin and the Macha for a moment. This statement of Kol Milsa Nisamar Biapik Lasa Lesam Shum Lishna Bisha is about general Lashon Hara. So we just don't understand, according to Tosfos, how can it be that, you know, when you are initiating in front of an audience, that that's not Lashon Hara? Just because I have the courage, so-called, of my convictions, meaning I'm not being sneaky about it, I'm telling the whole world. So if you tell a press conference, or you call up the New York Post, or the National Enquirer, you know, and you broadcast it to the whole world, that somehow absolves you from Lashon Hara. So what they're pointing out is, if you look at Tosfos and Erechin, and you read Tosfos and Malbasser and White and Tosfos and Erechin, it's the same Tosfos, you see that it doesn't mean Lishna Bisha, it means something which, in another context, would be Lishna Bisha, right, when you say it in such a forthright way, right, assuming that it has a neutral, you can't call something a Goslin like this. We're talking about some other statement about him, which you mean Litovato, which in theory could have been interpreted Liraso. So then the way that you say it in front of how many people you say it, the fact that you, you know, aren't shy about him, you would say it if he was standing right in front of you too.
So
it shows you mean it in a positive way. That gives it its token in some cases. And that's very, very important. When it comes to Lashon Hara, you mentioned the Shiduchim, motivation can be, there are certain things that are just Lashon Hara no matter what, clearly. There are other, and even then, things that are Lashon Hara, you know, there can be a situation where they're permitted, I mean, the, you know, it's a later drasha, as far as I know, like a modern drasha of the last 200 years, you know, that, you know, people were medayik, that, you know, the same pasuk that says, lo telech rakil, you know, bi'amecha, also, you know, lo samod al dam riecha. You know, so I don't know who the first person to say it was, but somehow I think in the last 200 years, but then it was repeated by a lot of other people, was, you know, an exception to lo telech rakil ba'amecha is sometimes if you're silent when you know something, you know, negative about someone, and other people are relying on him, the question of Shiduchim obviously is a critical example of that. You know this fellow's an axe murderer, so it's Lashon Hara to tell people about it. When he's preying on the public and he's a, you know, he's a public threat. So that's lo selech achil bamecha when it's lo samen al dam reyacha. So what I'm saying is, when you have a pure Lashon Hara, it's almost always usur, except when other people are at risk. That's lo samen al dam reyacha. Then there's a whole slew of cases where if it's gratuitous or if it's motivated, you know, negatively, right, even if it seems neutral or just, you know, sometimes just information about people that's private, it's not positive, it's not negative, that can also be Lashon Hara. It's not, I mean, we live in an era, you know, where, you know, a very voyeuristic era. You know, the Newsweek had a headline a couple of weeks ago, you know, this whole Tiger Woods thing about, you know, how people just don't seem to have the ability to turn their eyes away, or I forget the phrase that they used. It was a good phrase. So, like, people just don't have the capacity to turn away from gossip. You know, so it's the yellow journalism, and it's a society, and the internet and all that, the global village simply enhances that because it's like that. It's out. It doesn't take 10 minutes, you know, for a story to break to be all over the world. But the idea of, one of the most important principles of Lashon Hara is the idea of privacy per se. But even if it's something isn't negative necessarily, it's what the truth is that this sugya, it says Lishna Bisho, it sounds like Lashon Hara. But one day in Rav Yona, and the view of the Ritva in the sugya, and some have shown him in Erechin, is that it's really not talking about Lishna Bisho. Because Lishna Bisho, how can you have a heter of Kol Milsa to Misabra Bapi Plasa? They say it's really Gilu, what they call Gilui Milsa. Gilui Milsa means revealing information about people that is no one else's business, even if it isn't necessarily detrimental. Right? We just live in an era in which, you know, everybody feels they have the right to know in a democracy about the government, you know, is a very important principle. But the right to know about the private life, even the neutral private life of citizens, even of public officials, which has nothing to do with character or policy or whatever, in the world of halakha, that's avak, or, you know, that's part of the world of Lashon Hara. So the point is, you can have things which, if they're gratuitous, then they're Lashon Hara, as Gili Milsa, as Rechilos, you know, just gossip. You can have constructive gossip. You know, the Gemara say, if you say, oh, he's the greatest guy, you know, whatever, but you know it's going to provoke some sort of, you know, comparison, or it's going to instigate other people, you're exaggerating. That too is a kind of a...
I have a theory why the Lashon of Mahor is Gazala. Could have said, someone's trespassing, someone's on my property.
Yeah.
But it has to be Lashon Hara if you want Chavra Chavra Islay.
That's the opposite of what the Rabosa Sarasi say. Because they say, you know, we're worried that they're not going to say it over because they think it's Lashon Hara. That's why I said it was inspiring. But I hear. So the point is that if you look at the Rishonim, the Rambam, for example, in Sefer Mada, Perek Zayin, also quotes Kol Milsa Misam Bapit Las. The other Rambam has two important Hiddush. I forgot to bring the Lashon with me. But one is, he says, anything which is Yadua Bifnei Gimel, he says, is Galui Ukvar Yaduahu. So I think it's a very interesting Lashon. Not that it will be, but you can spread it because anyway people are going to find out about it. The Rambam says it's halacha. Once people know about it, it's in the public domain. Whether everybody knows about it or not, it's already a public knowledge. It's a alumnus in the idea of Gilui and Pirsum. But the other thing the Rambam says is that this is only Bakroi. This Heter is not if you plan it or if it's something, you know, more something which is more routine. If it's Bakroi, and the some Rishonim understand that implies also, you know, that Yesh Panim Lekan, there's two ways to interpret this. It isn't gratuitous, etc. Then we have this rule of Kol Milsa the Misamri Apet Lasa Leisba Mishum Lishnabisha. But otherwise, as Rabbi Yona and the Chavetz Chaim make very, very clear, and others by implication, real Lashon Hara, straight Lashon Hara, gratuitous information, there's no special din of this Bei Gimel. Yeah. Was a question? Or? Okay, let's move on. There's much more to say about the Lashon Hara part, but that's not the main part of our topic. It's just an interesting side. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Lo." We were in the third line. The Kulama Islu the Rabba Barav Huna. Everybody holds that when it comes to Lashon Hara, the Shir is Gimel. V'hacha v'hacha miflegi. Now the argument revolves around something else. On number bifnei shnayim, the one who says two, kasavar mechah shalom b'fanav lo hava mechah. He says, listen, the mechah shalom b'fanav doesn't work. Right? That's why you can get away with two, because every mechah has to be in the presence of the machzik. So you don't need it to be galuri before some, we just need to know that he knows about it. But if you have to be mechah b'fanav, then you always know that, so that's two. Here, of course, the interesting thing is, so why do you even need two? If it's b'fanav, literally, you don't need any piersim at all, so why do you need two? Why did you say hodas b'alin k'medim dami? Or eid echad? Oh, so you're saying edus. Now the question is, what kind of edus l'birur, or a kind of edus l'kiyum? Or something in between. Meaning, only because he could always deny it, but if he admitted it, that would be okay? Or is it like those areas in the halacha that sometimes we encounter, they're very, very important, where sometimes you need eid echiyum? Namely, the formality of this process or procedure requires the presence of witnesses like Gittin and Kiddushin. This isn't Gittin and Kiddushin. Right? It would be a very big Kiddush to say it in Kiyum. So we'll get back to this in just a minute. Let's go through the Shaka Mataya first, and then we'll come back to it. Okay. There's another Girsa here, the Girsa of the Rimigash, which is the opposite of this, where he thinks that the Manor of Shishnayim is the one who says Mechah Shalom B'fanav Hava Mechah, actually. In which case, you have to say, it's a little bit counterintuitive, but you have to say the opposite in something that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, which is that if you hold Mechah Shalom, normally when we say Mechah Shalom B'fanav Hava Mechah, you can do a long distance Mechah, what we normally mean is you can trust in the grapevine. It'll get to him, Chavra Chavra Yisrael. The Rimigash, here at least, and the truth is that there are some other indications of it as well, seems to be saying, Chavra Chavra, there's a chance that it'll get back to him, and that's fine, that's enough. But we really only need two, because since it's Shalom B'fanav anyway, right, the Ikar is not him hearing about it, the Ikar is that it should be formally and legally proper. And for that, as long as our Shnayim made him, that's enough. That's the Rimigash. But that's if you have the opposite gears of what we have. Anyway, Mandam Rifnei Gimel Kasavar, Mecha Shalom B'fanav Hava Mecha. That's the second view of the Gemara. Iboy Seima, the third view. The kulam b'chah shalom b'fanav hava b'chah. Everybody agrees long distance b'chah is fine. B'hocha b'hocha miflegi. The argument is man d'amr b'fnei bei savar sadu sabi'inan. Man d'amr b'fnei gimel kasavar gluye mil sabi'inan. The argument is, do you need edim or do you need gilui milsa? Okay, so let's talk about that for a few minutes. So firstly, how does the Rashbam interpret these two options, the option of Sahadusa, Edim, as opposed to Giluye Mils. So if you look here at the Rashbam, Divrei Maaskel, Bahaka Miflegi. So he says, Bahaka Miflegi, Manam Miflegi, Shnaim Kesav, Sahadusa Binan, the Dailanu Bishnei Edim, it's enough that we have two witnesses, Sheyaidu Shemicha Zebetov Gimel. As long as you have two witnesses who establish that a mechah took place within the 3 years, That is sufficient. Now listen to this. V'im yavo adabar li'aznav, yavo. If the machzik hears about it, great. The ba'achar sheyuchal lavo l'aznav shemachzik, b'sheminu ba'olam, have a mechah. Since there's a potential that the machzik will hear about it, that's sufficient. Tilo chayish ela shelo yasra b'hem l'chasas adabar. As long as he is not trying to suppress the mechah, the kibbut alishna bishaleka, the mechah, shem elo atzman yelchul yagidu l'machzik, or yom l'acherim sheyom l'o. What's the Rashbam saying? The Mandamar Zashnayim thinks that the important thing is that the mechah should be serious. And for that, the fact that there's a potential that the machzik will hear about it, which there always is sufficient. As long as there's no suppression, and there's a chance that he'll hear about it, right? Im yavo double yosav yavo. But what don't we care about? The likelihood or the practically the certainty that he'll hear about it. What about the mandamar gimel? Galuya dosa beinan says the Rashbam sheyeda kol olam v'kiven noda legimel ki unoda kvar lemachzik dami. The mistama yeda priyada v'mechazu. Avamishnayim mistama leyada. He went from saying, you know, there's a good chance the guy will find out about it. Now it's already, he probably won't hear about it, but he might. The machzik's prospects for hearing from one Rashbam to the other, you know, are plummeting. There's still a chance. He can't rely on the fact of getting back to the risk. And he's saying, if I'm going to accuse you falsely, right? And there's a chance that you're going to hear about it within 3 years, since you're going to be able to hold on to your shtar, I'm taking a big risk. Because my entire reputation is online here. Right? No one's going to deal with me again if I'm accusing you falsely, right, of trespassing in my property when I sold it to you. So what the Rashbam says is, to establish the seriousness of the mechah, all we need is that risk. And for that you need, I don't know what the percentages are. As I said, I don't know if it's 70% or 40%, it might be 30%. As I say, from Dibra Maskil Lo till Dibra Maskil, I'm sorry, V'acha, till Dibra Maskil Gluya Milsa, I think the chances went from 60 to 40% in my reading of the Rashbam. It went to below 50%. But it doesn't matter. It's not 10%. It's 40%. I'm making up the numbers, obviously. But that's the Rashbam. So is the Rashbam saying that the argument between the Mandamar 2 and the Mandamar 3 is whether the Mechah is focused on the seriousness of the Marakama or on the efficiency in terms of hearing of the Machzik? It sounds like it. The one who says it explicitly is the Tosfos Rid. If you look at the Tosfos Rid, I was able to copy it in these sheets. Look at the Tosfos Rid, the second entry, page 1. He says it very, very clearly. Mar savar sadusa bi'inan, mar savar galuya milsa bi'inan, pirish. Bein lamar, svir le delo avagili milsa de matzi lemimte ve'udne, de machzik batzi migimel. Reliable, pirsum, according to both manda amrim, requires 3. Ahad amar bipne shayim. So how could it be that you can get away with 2 if reliable pirsum needs 3? Savar, Tamid Chazakam b'pnei shnei inyanim, because he holds, and this is the nuts and bolts of what we've been discussing, but he just explicates it very, very, very admirably. He says there are 2 components in Chazkas Gimel Shana, says the Tosfos Rid. Echad, 1, the atlas shnei mizar nishmishtari tvela mizar, the reisa of not having a shtar within 3 years. When it's expected, if you're a real owner, a real purchaser, that you would have proof of purchase. The fact that you can't produce it is a negative against the machzik. That's factor number 1. The echad, the second factor, she'im lo kein kedivrei ha-machzik, ha'ilo lezeh limchos v'ashtika she'asa nosenes ha-masla le'divrei ha-machzik, devadim v'chalei u'shtora ha-vilei v'irkas. So there's a second factor. The second factor is the silence of the marakama, who in face of seeming provocation, if he really is the owner, we can't explain his silence, and that proves the machzik's case. So these are 2 components. says the Tosfos Rid. Uvipnei shnei yonim ayilu, because of these two factors together, right? Zocha hamachzik besaga, if 3 years have passed, and therefore there's no reyesa, and 3 years have passed, and the shtikas marakama in that time is even more significant, so those two factors combine win the case for the machzik. Ha, aval, im chaser echad mehem, if there's only one factor, kagon, shelo achzik gimel shanim, let's say 3 years haven't passed, but the silence of the Markama is still vexing. It's still problematic. Are we going to say his silence loses the case even though the other fellow should really have the shtar? No. Oh, the opposite. Let's say 3 years pass, and now we know why he doesn't have the shtar. And this fellow, though, wasn't silent. But in his silence doesn't mean that the machzik knew about it. Let's say there's no reyesa because he legitimately didn't know that the other fellow was mocha. So you have exactly a situation where you've isolated these factors, says the Tosfos Rid. You have no reyesa of gimel shanim, but you have no shtikas marakama either. And what's halacha yokach? In micha v'fnei shayim, since you need both components, if you don't have the shtika, even though you also don't have the reyesa, then the victory is still going to be the marakamas. He wasn't silent. What about the other man damar? What does he think? He says there's only one component that we care about. The only thing we care about is the gimel shanim. And in this case, there's no gimel shanim. If he didn't hear about the mecha, then the fact that he doesn't have a shtar is not a reyesa. The other fellow was not silent either. We don't need that. We don't need the silence of the marakama for the machzik to win. We just need for the machzik to win that he has a chazaka, and that he has an excuse why he doesn't have a shtar. Now the language is very important here. If you want a macha that can destroy a chazaka, meaning, well, why all of a sudden the destruction language? If you take the view that you need shtikas marakama as a major component in Cheskes Gimel Shanim, is the macha breaking the chazaka? No. It's the silence which contributes to the chazaka. So if there's no silence, it doesn't break the chazaka, it just means that there's no foundation for a chazaka. It's very meduyak. But if you take the view that we don't care about shtikas marakama, all we really care about is zarinus b'shtare, right? So then the mecha is a way of breaking the chazaka. That's why he uses all of a sudden the language of Mishaberes Chazaka. So Tukalagia Ba'azav Amasik, Engili Milsav Batsav Gimel, Hilkachamicha, if they gimel, Shigia Dabar Biaznav, have a mecha. If the guy knows about it, it's a mecha. Damilay Boilan Lizari Bishdarech, the Kim Shalom is harta, lo have a chazaka, since you didn't hold on to it, you weren't careful. It's your problem. But if he calls together two people and the guy didn't hear about it, it's not his fault.
What is
Tanoso?
What Tanoso does he have?
The machzik, he claims that he bought the field.
You said something earlier, he has to have a reason why he doesn't have the shtar.
Within 3 years. But if after 3 years, he no longer is obligated to hold on to his shtar, unless he hears of the mecha. And if it was Bifnei Shnayim and he says, I didn't hear it, and we believe him, then he has no reason to hold on to the shtar. So he has a chazaka, he has no reyes of ach bishtarech, even though the other guy has witnesses that he was mocha, according to this view, he wins.
But within the 3 years, a reason would help him?
No.
Why wasn't?
Well, no, because there's no legitimate reason within 3 years. Unless a few cases, the case of, if you remember, Naflam and Ahmed Beis, where the guy came over to him and he gave him a basket full of payrolls. He says, oh, I thought at that point that he was acknowledging, and then I threw away my shtar. Unless you have something like that. So this Rashbam is amazing. The Rashbam is saying, and I'm sorry, this tells us it's amazing, but I think it might be shot in the Rashbam too, although he doesn't say this explicitly, that the argument in the Gemara of 2 verses 3 is the argument, right? Is Shtikas Marakam on the basis? Or is Dar Inish Bishtar on the basis? Now this, of course, is opposite of the case that we spoke of 2 weeks ago, where we isolated the factors in the opposite direction. If you recall, we had the case there where the Marakama got together two witnesses, and he said to them, I'm protesting, but don't tell the word, don't tell a soul. Right? So what do we say? It's not a good Mecha. But let's say the Edim decided to take matters in their own hand, and they told the Machzik, and they omitted the part about him not being allowed to tell. Right? He told them, don't tell a word. I'm upset, I'm challenging, don't breathe a word of it. They went to the Machzik and said, he's upset, he's challenging. Now the Machzik, thinking that it was a good Mecha, should have held on to his shahr. Right? Because he didn't know that the guy told him, don't breathe a word of it. But he didn't hold on to his shahr. So what do we have there? The Reyesa of Achmi's shahr. He should really hold on to his shahr, thinking that he's being challenged. It's a false assumption, but he doesn't know it. His behavior betokens, right, fraud in the boxes. But Mitzvah of Marakama, there's no protest really, because it's a fake protest. So there you have a case where there's no, where there is Shtikas Marakama, but there's also the Reyes of the Shtar. Here you have a case where there's no Shtikas Marakama, but there's no Reyes of the Shtar. These are the opposite cases. Now the Rambam, as I mentioned before, but now I have it here in the text, clearly disagrees with, or clearly takes the view, even the halacha, now we paskin, let me make it clear, we paskin that two, not three. So according to Tosfos Shmid, and the way I understand the Rashbam, that should determine that if the Machzik doesn't hear, but the Marakama makes a proper protest, that the Marakama will win. But the Rambam obviously didn't read the Gemara that way, because the Rambam paskins two, not three. And yet, we'll look one more time in Halacha Hay, the first one on the page. Chukas Tzayim Parakid Al Halacha Hay. From the Harei Shemicha Shimon B'Medina B'Choka. I read it before. B'Pnimala Yutan Ruben B'Yomer Lo Shemati Shemicha B'Kadesh Yizar B'Shtar. Why doesn't the Lokeach say, the Machzik say, I never heard the protest? That'll be his excuse. So the Rambam says, "Mipnei she'omer lechavrach yeshel chaver, chaver yeshel chaver, bechazaka sheyigi alecha davar." And look how fast the umdana turns into a fact in the Rambam. Once again, the kivin sheyadata, you knew, you know, shemicha b'cha, it's a fact already. B'tokim ushanim, the emes hoyel chashtar below nizhartabo ato esaret alatzmcha. The point, even your story that you used to have a shtar, it's your own fault. If you can't produce it and you're so careless, you lose. What is the Rambam really saying here? Forget about whether or not you accept his view that Chavra Chavrach is like 100%. You can argue about that. But the legal issue for the Rambam, which is more important, is, let's say it is. I mean, let's say it wasn't. I'm sorry. If it wasn't, would it be a good taina to say, I didn't hear about it? It would. If it wasn't 100%. Luya Tsuya, the Chavra Chavrach was. If you didn't accept the premise that the Chavra Chavrach is practically infallible, then what would the Rambam say? That his claim, I didn't hear about it, would be a winning claim. But why? The other guy was Mocha. Right? Even though the Rambam paskins too, the Rambam thinks that Shtikas Marakama alone is not the issue. And that's totally consistent with everything else we spoke about in the Rambam, which is a chazaka, about Maisa chazaka, there's a connection between Kinyan chazaka and Ryan's chazaka. For the Rambam, it's all about a tug of war, who's a little bit on top, right? Etc. Okay. Let's move on. This question of three or two, as we already noted, raises another issue, and that is the role of Eved. Number one, let's talk about the three for a second. I think you mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, three is a Beis Din. The Gemara here never says anything about a Beis Din. But the Rishami, right? The Rishami, when it talks about this machlokas, three or two, just on passant, agavorka, says, when it repeats the three view, says, well, point to the one that says you need a Beis Din, look, a Beis Din, right? Is there an idea here that, again, in our Gemara and the Babli, it's clear that the three have nothing to do with the Beis Din? What does that have to do with Pirsum, Gilui Milsa, that's what the Gemara calls it, right? The connection to Kol Milsa de Bissamer, Biape Tlasa, Leisum, Shalif de Bisha, is that a Beis Din? No. Three people.
They have to be together.
Oh, good question. That's a good question. We'll get that in just a second. What about, you know, Bezeh Harzeh? Do they have to be all there? Do they have to be, males and Gedolim and are we talking about real Adim and Dayanamir?
The Lashon of the Machoah says he's going to adjudicate
it. Tomorrow. Lamacha Tavano Lebedina. This isn't the Bezeh, though. That's part of the information. So what I'm saying is, in the Bavli, the Gimel is Gili Milsa. If anything, it's the Shnayim that sounds, it doesn't say Shnayim, it says Sadusa, at least according to the third day. That sounds a little bit like, you know, the formality of Edus. But the, so that's like the Kiddush in the Yerushalmi. But it invokes, you know, the Gemara's in Gittin and HaShaleach, the Gemara talks about Prisbol and Bithol, you know, Shlichus, Haget, Lifnei, Gimel as being kind of, you know, is it the Gimel, but the Shnayim, and even the Shnayim, maybe Shnayim Nami Beis Din Kari Lahu. The idea that sometimes when you need kind of a formal presence, you know, it's three or two, it's Petaris Beis Din, not just Petaris Avis. If the Rishami has an idea of three as Beis Din, that would imply that Macha is a real formal complaint. But in the Bible, it doesn't seem that way. But we could transfer the question to the two. When we say Sadusa, we just mean two and not three, or do we mean Sadusa Edim? Maybe do they have to be Kshayrim? Your question. Does it have to be, Bifnei Shnayim as opposed to Bezeh Harzeh? Or the question that we asked before, which is, this is only a requirement in Mekah Shalom B'fanav? What about Mekah B'fanav? I mentioned that the Rimigash's Girsa is that the Shnayim is according to the Mandamar. But according to our Bavli, the Shnayim is according to the Mandamar Mecha'a, the second day, not the third day, but the second day of the Gemara. Mecha'a, Bifnei Shnayim, is according to the Mandamar Mecha'a, requires Bifanav. So why do you need the two? So if you look here at Tosas Dibur Mafsal Sadusa B'inan. Tosas says, V'ilav Mishum Sadusa Havasagi B'chad. The chaver is like half of the shalosh and hara in nishma, hain lefi shemalim and osam ibnei adam. In lashon hara, you need three because people, the opposite, again, the inspiring view. People aren't going to want to say it, so it's only if it's out there with three. But in regular, it would be enough. My number of gimel, by gimel, so come up with lashon hara. What is Tosa saying here, though? Very important, Tosa. Tosa is saying, don't be misled by the Gemara. Don't think, because the Gemara says, Sadusa, right, that it means that you need Edim, Alpidin, you really need Edim. What you need here is two things. Number one, Pirsum, and that you get through Chavra Chavra. Chavra Chavra, the Pirsum could be even Ayde Echad, according to this Mandamar. And number two, you need the witnesses. It doesn't sound like it's Edikium. It sounds like in case the guy will deny it. Let's say, after the fact, he'll say, you know, I didn't do it. Right. Sorry? Therefore, you need the two. Yeah. But the fun of, let's say, if you had Hodas Baldinkame, let's say the Edom were there, right? And the Ma'arer confronts the Machzik, and he's Mocha. And later on, the Machzik admits that there was a Mechah, even if it was Bifnei Echad, or Hodas Baldin Kamedim Dami. Says, yeah, there was a Mechah. According to Bali Tosis, for all we know, that might be very fine and good too. However, not all Rishonim are so satisfied with this. Look at the, we'll start with the Tshuva Sarash book, it's a little bit easier. Look at the Rajba and the Ramba. I think it's on page, the end of page one. I have a different configuration because I have my original here. Shuta Rajba, no, it's actually either way. No, either way it's on page two. Sorry. Shuta Rajba, Chelik, Basim, and Tzadi. You know, it's chronologically, out of sequence, I'm just going to, the Rajba is just a little bit easier in one respect. So the Rajba asks your question about Zachar Zeh. Edus Mechedes. Do you need, when we say you need two witnesses, do they have to be together? So the Rajba would ask this question. Everybody have it? Chelik Basim and Tzadi?
Page two.
Sha'alta. Mecha b'fnei echad eino klo. Sounds like the Gemara that mecha requires at least two. B'fnei shnayim zechar zeh toch gimel ma'ushit starfu. Exactly your question. Let's say they two aren't together. They were mocha b'fnei echad and they're mocha b'fnei another echad. Is that good enough or not?
Why does it have to be toch gimel?
Toch gimel shanim. In the 3 years. So the Rashi says tshuva. Ein eid echad b'mecha v'lo klum. Eid echad in a mecha doesn't work at all. Why? And it says two reasons. Chada. One. T'kayim alon mecha shelo b'fanav ha v'mecha. V'hilka gili milsa k'tzas ki gili milsa desadusa b'ina. Havufnei echad leka kala v'lo megala milsa klal. V'lo mizdar idach b'shtari. Number one, he takes aim at Tosas without saying so. Tosas said that from a Chabra Islay point of view, it would have been enough to be Bifnei Echad. Right? Because one person could get the ball rolling, you know, with the Chabra, you know, apparatus. Rajba says, no. You want Chabra to work, you know, the threshold is that it starts off with two. Otherwise, it doesn't go. That's number one. Velom is fine. V'chod amina b'gabara marsav asadusa bina marsav agilim milsa bina anafikamar. Marsav alpi d'machi shalob upon of Kimachi ba'anfei trei in the presence of two, and you complain. The ikasadusa the misadid the ba'anfei macha sagi the inu mafki kolaktas, because they produce somewhat of a call. The chavre is like umarsa. The other one says kim shalom b'fanav avin lecha milsa the mefarsim tuba b'ino. You need more piersum bein pachas mikim. Avol mikomakom bein lamar gili milsa b'ino. It's not that. The one that says Gilui requires Gilui and the other one doesn't. They both require Gilui. They're arguing about the threshold of Gilui, and therefore at minimum you require two, and not Zeh b'fnei Zeh, Shalom b'fnei Zeh, not one and then another one, but two. That's the Chiddush, alright, in Chabra Chabra. That's a practical point. But then he says, Yafilu Mocha b'fnei Gimel Zeh, Shalom b'fnei Zeh. Let's say he was Mocha one, one, and one. That also wouldn't work. Fine. But oh, A big chiddush of the Rajba, which we'll see in a second, already appears in the Rambam. A second idea. Not only is Zeh Chazeh no good because it doesn't deliver the proper shiur of Chaver Chaver Hisleh. There's a more fundamental reason. When the Maksik is told that the Mecha took place, not Bifnei Shnayim, but Bifnei, right, Zeh Chazeh, he doesn't take the Mecha seriously. And therefore, it doesn't have the effect of Mizdarinish Bishtari, of extending, in other words, Mizdarinish Bishtari after three. And since that's the case, the Zeh Chazeh, even if it had been sufficient for the Chabra, even if he hears about it, when he hears, he never even bothered to get two people at the same time together, he doesn't pay attention to this Mizar Bishtar.
It sounds like Hataris Nadarim.
What do you mean Hataris Nadarim?
I mean, to get a
bed
of three and tell
them
what
it is. You need two people, two witnesses.
Yeah, but the real mitzvah is whether or not he takes it seriously or not. One doesn't know that.
Well, what the chiddush of the Rajba is that if the matzik has legitimate reason to think, if we can't be certain that the matzik is just blatantly, you know, fraudulent, as opposed to having some excuse for not taking serious. In other words, the argument between the Rashba and others doesn't seem to be a practical argument. You know, how damaging, you know, in the eyes of the Machzik is it that the Mechah was made in front of one, you know, another one after Zeba Fazeh and not Fisham. It rather seems to be an argument. What is the threshold, let's say, of establishing in an unequivocal way that the Machzik is behaving, you know, suspiciously, as opposed to saying, you know, there's some justification for his behavior. It's a 30% explanation, not a 50% one. But that's something too. Which means that really the argument is about the balance of power, once again, between Machzik and Bar Kam. Let me just finish this up, and then we'll finish this next thing with the Ramban. Because the Ramban also wonders about this. By the way, let me, two things. The Ra'ah, quoted in the Mukhe Yosef, disagrees with the Rashba. He says if it's Bezeach Arzeach, in Macha, it works. It works against the Rashba. He doesn't quote the Rashba. The Ra'ah was a contemporary of the Rashba, but he disagrees. Now look at the Ramban. The Ramban confronts the same issues. Mechah b'fnei shnayim, the Ramban says, Mesupakani b'mechah b'fanav u'b'fnei echad im mechahi. I'm not sure when the mechah is b'fnei hamachzik, do you need two people, or is it enough to have an eid echad and the baldavar? Kishema yachol zeh lomar, same idea. Ma'akha shalom achisa bi elebif, but two different formulations. Ma'akha shalom achisa bi elebif ne'achad, v'ayisi yocha lachbar, lo is da'ure v'shtara. Because amina ilo mashkach n'shtari, yocha l'ni lachbar, m'machaso. This is wild. Maybe the guy will say, you know what, you came to me, you were mocha. But I didn't take superhuman, you know, effort to preserve my shtaros, because I knew that even if I lose them, I can always lie about it. Right? I mean, normally we don't think that building in, you know, the possibility of lying is like a, you know, an acceptable, flexible, limit in terms of the credibility of his taina. That's number one. The ode. This already is a little better. Shayisi Sabur, this is the Rajba already, but Raj was the Raman. Shalot Titveini Bedin, Avapisha Amros Kain, Macha Shalot Amros Bifne Edim Kain, Chazarti Vichrati Bimacha Sheno Klum. I'm sorry, that's Raman. We'll stop there for a second. So the Raman is another possibility. Instead of saying, oh, I wasn't careful because I have the option, you know, the safety net of being able to lie about it, which is strange.
Isn't that like a
vagary? Kind of.
Because he feels he's telling the truth. And we're not talking about him ultimately he's lying.
Right.
He's that far.
Right.
That's
a vagary. Right. Your point is a very important point. Meaning, he's not, this guy isn't so bad. I mean, he's saying, listen, I haven't bought the property from him. And he's lying. So, you know, if I'm not careful about my shtar, because I always know that on that little detail I can lie, you know, but the bigger truth here is that I'm telling the truth about the Mecca. Yeah. But it's still a lie. I mean, but it's true. In perspective, it's not as bad. The second idea is that how serious is he about smicha or is it lip service? If he's only being mocha bifnei achad, you know, is he really serious about taking me to court?
He's not talking like an Arab.
What? Maybe. And then finally he says, and with this we conclude, he says, Chazarti v'chrati b'mechah she'en aklum. In the end, I think that it's not a good mechah if it's not b'fnei shnai. Mitok she'nem alova lo machisa bi, nem alova l'kucha hi b'yadi, because the guy is a migu. I mean, the machzik has a migu. He can say, believe me that I bought it. After all, it's already been 3 years. Right? After all, if I was a liar, I could have denied that you were mocha. The Ava Pisha Machisa, even though it's true that you were mocha, lo nizharti b'shtari, because I know I have this migu. Not that I can lie about it, but because I can lie about it, therefore I have a migu. Vim tishiveni naskir ababa, it's a pocha karka, veidecha, betarka in a klum, avim tanosa b'peros, ein lo b'amen migu zeh, Ava Pikena das nota she'en machasa macha. The Ramban really concludes that you need two witnesses. Now there's one more sheet here. I want to talk about this. Number one, the Rush disagrees with this Migu. I want to talk about that next week. what that argument about. Number two, there's one more shita which I had mentioned previously, that's the Raivid. The Raivid goes one step further, a giant step further. That is that the real reason that you need two Edim is because it's a kind of Edikiyu. Meaning, without two Edim, it's not defined halakhically as a Mechav. So we have a variety of shitas about the din of Mechav B'fnei Shayim. We'll finish up with this, and with this whole section, hopefully next week.